face life's harsh realities. Hope can help us during tough times, but it might not be as effective when things are going well. There's a hard truth in life that many of us try to avoid. Eventually, everyone we know, including ourselves, will die. In the grand scheme of things, our worries and efforts seem insignificant. Nobody enjoys confronting this uncomfortable truth because it can lead to a sense of nihilism. People might think, if nothing matters, why bother doing anything? Might as well just stay in bed or do something reckless. Hope is a driver of human behavior. Throughout history, hope has been crucial in motivating people and helping them endure tough times. Whether it's hope for personal futures, family, or community, it's a powerful force. Witold Pilecki's story illustrates this power. He had one goal, to see Poland free. This hope led him to join the resistance against the Nazis. He volunteered to be arrested to infiltrate Auschwitz and aid prisoners. For 2 years, he smuggled in food and medicine and maintained contact with the outside world. After World War II, Pilecki continued fighting, this time against communism. He was arrested, tortured for 2 years, and executed in 1948. Even facing death, Pilecki held on to hope. He felt joy knowing he had done all he could to help his people. Pilecki's story shows how powerful hope can be in dark times. However, hope is tied to the future. Many today feel they have much to lose, despite living in relatively good times. Rates of anxiety and depression in the U.S. have risen in the past 30 years, despite global improvements in violence, racism, poverty, child mortality, war, and human rights. The rational mind isn't always better. Steven Pinker and Hans Rosling have recently written extensive books with many graphs showing how much the world has improved in just a few generations. They seem to be saying, cheer up. Overall, things are going well. But this scientific approach, with its graphs and charts, has a big problem. It appeals to our thinking brain, where logic and reason are dominant, rather than our feeling brain, where emotions reside. To make better decisions and grasp the problem with hope, we need to appeal to both sides. Many think we'd be better at life and more productive if we could suppress our emotions and let our logical minds take charge. But it turns out that's not true. Take Elliot's case, for example. He had a tumor the size of a baseball removed from the front part of his brain. Removing the tumor also took away Elliot's ability to feel emotions. But instead of becoming an efficient machine, he did the opposite. He skipped an important work meeting to buy a better stapler, and he skipped his kids' baseball game to watch TV. Essentially, he stopped caring about anyone or anything. The brain's role in decision-making. Elliot lost his job and family due to a mysterious condition that puzzled doctors until they examined his emotional responses. Even when shown distressing war photos, Elliot admitted he should have felt something, but he didn't. Elliot's case highlights the need for balanced communication between our thinking and emotional brains to avoid common problems related to hope. For instance, if you want to quit eating junk food, your thinking brain knows the facts, it's good with data. But your feeling brain interprets these facts to decide what's good or bad. Making the right choice requires negotiation between these two brains. Otherwise, your feeling brain might dominate, deciding that eating junk food is a good idea. Laws governing emotions and their impact on hope. Our emotions are governed by four laws that can influence how hope affects our happiness. The first law states that every action triggers an opposite emotional reaction. For instance, if something bad happens, like being punched, it creates a gap between what we think is fair and what occurs. We naturally feel wronged and angry, seeking to restore fairness. The second law suggests that our self-worth is shaped by our cumulative emotional experiences over time. If someone repeatedly faces harm without recourse, like abused children, their brains adjust by normalizing the pain. They might start believing they deserve it, a coping mechanism when they can't change their situation. This pattern isn't limited to abuse but occurs when people can't act to better their circumstances. The influence of early experiences on beliefs and identity. Experiencing difficulties early in life can shape our beliefs in ways that are hard to change. This is because our identity tends to stay the same unless we encounter new experiences that challenge it. For instance, if you've ever met someone with extreme political views, whether very liberal or very conservative, you'll know how challenging it can be to convince them of a more moderate approach that supports democracy. People build their identities around their early experiences, and these stories become part of who they are. To change these beliefs, they often need new experiences that contradict their old ones. Another important concept is the law of emotional gravity, which suggests that the people we surround ourselves with are usually similar to us. While most people share basic desires like food and shelter, we often focus on small differences rather than common ground. We naturally gravitate towards those who share our specific preferences and may clash with those who don't. This tendency makes it difficult to bridge gaps between different groups. These principles show how even optimistic individuals can feel stuck in negative beliefs about themselves or the world, making it challenging to find hope. Religious systems and human nature. Every belief system brings about challenges, so it's preferable to accept life as it comes. If you ever thought about founding your religion, it's quite straightforward. First, offer a specific hope to a particular group of people who feel hopeless, for instance, promise heaven to those dissatisfied with their current lives. Then, discredit any criticism by telling your followers that non-believers are in league with evil forces. Next, establish rituals for your followers to practice while assuring them that rewards or punishments await them. Finally, persuade them to give you money, support your political ambitions, or fulfill whatever goals you had in mind. It might seem cynical, but it's evident that religions, including ideological systems like capitalism or communism, often become corrupted by the flaws of the humans managing them. Whether driven by greed, the pursuit of power, or personal vanity, corruption seems inevitable, even when a religion starts with good intentions. Hope and its consequences. German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche believed that every belief system has a flaw, it's controlled by imperfect humans who often corrupt it or clash it with others. This applies to hope too. When someone hopes for change, they're essentially saying they're unhappy with the current situation. So, hope, like any belief, creates conflict and discontent. According to Nietzsche, this constant cycle of hope and disappointment leads to everything being messed up. Nietzsche urged people to see beyond the moral judgments imposed by belief systems. He encouraged accepting life as it is, including its imperfections and the inevitability of death. This perspective, known as amor fati or love of fate, means accepting life's challenges instead of avoiding uncomfortable truths. Doing so allows us to appreciate the present moment without relying on hope for a better future. Kant's ethical principle, respect humanity. Immanuel Kant, an influential philosopher from the 18th century, proposed a straightforward guideline for human behavior that contrasts with Nietzsche's concept of accepting fate. Kant envisioned a future with global peace under a unified government, an idea that later inspired the United Nations. He also emphasized the inherent dignity of every individual and was an early supporter of animal rights. Kant's ethical principle can be summed up as, always treat humanity, whether in yourself or others, as an end in itself, never merely as a means. This means we shouldn't treat people as tools for personal gain. For example, being kind to someone just to benefit from them is against this principle. Instead, kindness should be shown because it is the right thing to do. Similarly, refraining from stealing should not be motivated by hopes of reward in the afterlife, but simply because stealing is wrong. In essence, Kant's philosophy boils down to a straightforward message: don't act like a jerk. Grow up and acting right. Kant's idea of treating people as an adult is a lot like Nietzsche's amor fati because it tells us not to do things just because we hope they'll turn out well. Every action should be meaningful in itself, without expecting something in return. As kids, we focus on pleasure and doing what feels good. When we become teenagers, we start forming principles that guide our actions, weighing our desire for pleasure against these principles. By adulthood, these principles should be the main reason for how we behave. For example, a teenager might think, I won't steal because I might get caught, but an adult should understand that stealing is wrong because of a principle. Adults also recognize that even though some things are hard, uncomfortable, or painful, it's important to do them when they're the right thing to do. The challenge of happiness and democracy. Winston Churchill famously remarked, democracy is perhaps the worst system of government, except for all the others. Despite its flaws, democracy stands as the most effective system because it acknowledges political corruption and allows diverse beliefs to coexist. However, the pursuit of happiness poses a risk to democracy. Seeking happiness means avoiding discomfort and challenges in life, including differing opinions. But avoiding adversity prevents us from developing virtues like honesty, courage, and humility, which are crucial for democracy to thrive. These virtues enable us to appreciate the hard work and diverse perspectives necessary for a healthy democratic society. Happiness and democracy. Many people nowadays struggle to accept opposing views, which poses a threat to democracy. Philosophers like Nietzsche argue that our pursuit of happiness often makes us intolerant of dissenting opinions. This self-centered drive can make us prioritize our happiness over the principles of democracy. When like-minded individuals join forces, extremist groups can form, leading to the downfall of democracy and the rise of tyranny. Another reason to reconsider the pursuit of happiness is its futility. Studies show that while positive events may briefly boost our happiness, we quickly return to our usual mood. Even if we could eliminate all unpleasant experiences, we'd still find new things to worry about. This is similar to the blue dot effect, where people in studies adjusted their standards for what counted as blue or threatening. They convinced themselves that these things were still present, even as their frequency decreased. Shift from information to emotion in advertising. At one time, advertisements simply informed consumers about product features. But starting in the 1920s, things changed. Advertisers began aiming directly at people's emotions rather than their rational thoughts. Instead of focusing on a product's practical benefits, ads started targeting the insecurities or pain points of potential buyers. The new goal was not just to sell a product, but to convince people that buying it would make them feel better about themselves. This shift alone hurt our mental well-being. But another change might have been even more significant. When innovation began to focus on diversion rather than genuine progress. Stages of development and consumerism. As nations develop, they often experience a burst of innovation. This includes advances in medicine and more job opportunities, which generally boosts people's happiness. However, once a country becomes affluent, happiness levels tend to plateau or even decline. Rates of depression and anxiety may rise as well. This shift happens because innovation starts turning into distractions. Advertisers capitalize on people's insecurities, persuading them to buy unnecessary things. Businesses justify this by claiming they're simply meeting demand. In the United States, for instance, having a wide array of breakfast cereals in supermarkets is seen as a symbol of freedom. But having more choices doesn't necessarily mean more freedom, it often means more distractions. This abundance of choices can reduce freedom. Modern technology aims to simplify our lives, but it also develops new compulsive behaviors. This dependence on technology for comfort and entertainment can erode our sense of freedom. True freedom, then, might involve simplifying our lives, like deleting social media to reclaim our time and attention. Advancements in AI, the rise of Alpha, Zero. In 2018, Google surprised everyone at a chess competition with its AI program, Alpha Zero. Before the event, the top dog was Stockfish, a powerful open-source chess software that had dominated for 4 years. Stockfish could analyze 70 million positions per second, far more than Alpha Zero's 8,000. Remarkably, Alpha Zero, which had never played chess before that day, astounded everyone by either winning or drawing in all 100 matches against Stockfish. But that's not all. On the same day, Alpha Zero also played Shogi, a Japanese chess variant, for the first time. It faced Elmo, the reigning champion in Shogi, and won an impressive 90 out of 100 matches. AI is truly remarkable, and its algorithms are increasingly becoming part of our daily lives. Some, like Elon Musk, warn of AI's potential dangers, but others see it as a revolutionary development that could benefit humanity in countless ways. Human fallibility and AI potential. Human beings are often illogical and contradictory. We've invented things like chemical weapons, domestic abuse, and money laundering. These are just a few examples of our wrongdoings. We tend to criticize ourselves and cause harm. Maybe AI could convince us to treat our planet better while still being prosperous. Perhaps AI could help us move beyond conflicts based on ideology or religion. One thing to hope for is that we don't destroy ourselves before making positive changes. This could help us become better versions of ourselves. Key points 1. Hope drives human resilience through history, yet must balance with realism for effective decision-making. 2. Emotions and logic must harmonize for sound judgment and meaningful actions. 3. Early experiences shape lasting beliefs and identities, influencing how we perceive the world. 4. Democracy's vitality hinges on adopting diverse perspectives and developing essential virtues. 5. Advertising's shift from information to emotional manipulation impacts mental well-being. 6. Technological advances offer convenience but may diminish personal freedom and happiness. 7. AI presents potential benefits and risks, highlighting human fallibility and the need for ethical considerations.